Welcome to the Course Creator Community Podcast. Your host, Mr. Jono Petrohilos, currently generates over $1 million a year selling his online courses. And now he teaches you how to do the same. Along with listening to our podcast, make sure to join the Course Creator Community Facebook group. It's one of the largest and most engaged Facebook groups in the space. You'll find the link in the show notes. Anyway, let's get to today's show.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Course Creator Community Podcast. I am super excited because we have an absolute rock star on the line this week. And I know I say that about every guest every week, but this person actually is. When it comes to the remote job space, this person's got it all. He's known as the remote job coach. He's an author of a book that's launching next month, Remote for Life. He's an international keynote speaker. He's got online courses. He's done it all. So without further ado, let me introduce the one and only Mr. Jordan Carroll. Jordan, how are you?
Oh, Jono, not Yono. Yeah. I'm doing fantastic, my man. Catching me out here in Medellin in the beautiful night. I don't know if you can see the stars and all the towers of these homes. I mean, Medellin is a beautiful, beautiful city. And so when it's dark out like it is now, you can see just the sprawling city for what seems to be miles because we're in the mountains. So I'm doing great.
Awesome. Awesome. And for the listeners, we're just rubbing it in, you know, we're just being like, just close absolutely. Your eyes and imagine if you're listening and that's what it would be like.
Yeah, no, I'm okay with rubbing it in a little bit. I mean, as long as people take it as inspiration, that's what right. we're here for. Right.
That's why you need a remote job, right?
That's why I do it, man. That being able to live wherever is a huge gift. I mean, it comes with its own challenges, of course, but I don't think anybody's going to be sad to hear the challenges about that.
Yes. Well, let's dive into it, Jordan. Before we speak about like your actual course and that sort of stuff there, just let us know a little bit about what it is you do. What are remote jobs? What's the remote job coach? Let us know a little bit about that.
Yeah, I basically create content, courses, and coaching programs for high performers looking to find a legitimate remote job that comes in all forms and sizes. People who are not working remote, who want to work remote, people that have a job right now, people who don't have a job right now, people that are 1 year into their experience, people that are 20 or 30 years into their experience. What I've found over the past 4 or 5 years of doing this is that, man, remote work has gotten more and more popular and more people want it. And I was kind of in a good, you know, right place at the right time to be able to capitalize on my knowledge of being remote. I've been remote since 2013. So being able to use some of the methodologies, the strategies to find remote work that I used, I was able to kind of parlay that into a business, which has been a lot of fun at the same time too.
Awesome. Now, question with remote jobs. It's an actual, when you say remote jobs, it's a job, like mm-hmm. you're remotely working for someone else, mm-hmm. or does that also include, you know, starting your own online business and that kind of stuff? What falls under your wheelhouse?
Yeah. I would say more so the first part where, you know, people are looking for actual full-time work that they can get from an employer, but it's also looked like part-time work or freelance work. And then I have consulted with people who want to start a remote business, usually in the coaching space. It's not something that I do as much. I've tried to put more of my focus on what I feel like is a more underserved niche, which is mm-hmm. how do you find a full-time remote job? Like a lot of people talk about how to start your own business and mm-hmm. be able to work from anywhere. But I've found that there is an entire subset of people that have no desire to work for yeah. themselves, but they actually have a desire to work for someone else. And again, that may look like part-time, that may look like freelance work, that may look like full-time W-2. If you're in the US, that's what we have as a contract type. But yeah, it's taken all forms, shapes and forms and sizes. And especially for your audience, I think what's interesting is finding that kind of niche where you feel like people are underserved. And then you're also getting a lot mm-hmm. of validation from that audience. And at the time I was getting a ton of validation before I started doing this by working another job. And so that's kind of how I parlayed into my course, which I'm sure we're going to get much more into.
Yeah, for sure. And just before we dive into the course, there may be course creators listening to this that are like, oh, hold on. I didn't know this remote job thing was an option. You know, I wanted to The reason I wanted an online course was because I wanted to work online and work from anywhere. But, you
Sure.
know, if there's an option to work for someone else, that sounds like a good deal. So if someone is listening to that, they're like, okay, you know, I like what this guy's, or I'm interested to hear more about this remote job thing. Where would they go to hear more?
Yeah, the remotejobcoach.com. It's a great place to start. And absolutely, I think you're right. I think what's more important is that people kind of listen to their intuition of what it is that you actually want. Like, if you want to live around the world, make enough money to be able to afford, afford the different travels that you have and do those types of things, it may be that creating a course is actually not a quick way to do that because I don't know if anybody here has tried to create a course and then had absolute crickets, but it pretty much happens in every course creator that's ever created anything. So I wouldn't doing the course route is actually what I would not consider that a shortcut
Oh,
to
no
that
way.
lifestyle. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. So I'll put those links down in the show notes. Now we'll pivot a bit. We'll speak about your actual course there, Jordan. Let us
Yeah.
know a little bit about that. I've done a little bit of reading about yourself. Am I right in saying you started mainly consulting and then it led to an online course? Or let us know a little bit about that. How did the online course
Yeah.
idea start or launch start?
Sure. So back in 2018, I had an existential crisis. That's the best way to start it. Broke up with my girlfriend, left Portland, Oregon, where I was living before, drove down into California and realized I want to travel the world. I want to go to, I was at the time, I was looking at Europe, I was looking at Asia, I was looking at Latin America. I didn't know really where I wanted to go. But I found a company called Remote Year. So maybe some people will be familiar with Remote Year, some people won't. Remote Year is an organization, a travel, it's like a travel organization that takes care of all of your logistics for traveling and working remotely for people that already have remote jobs. So if you have a remote job, you pay a Remote Year a monthly fee. They take care of your apartment, they find you a co-working space. There's certain events that are included every month. You have a travel, you have a team in every city that you go to, and you go to a different country every single month with a group of people.
That's
So
awesome.
at the time, I loved the concept. I was like, dude, this is awesome. Like, I was like, I want to work for this company. Like, that was my first thought. I was like, I want to work for them. And so in my head, I was like, what would be the best route to go work for them? I was like, maybe I should go do a program because who's going to know more about it than someone who's done it? And the job that I was looking for was a sales position with them to actually sell the program. So I end up signing up for a program. I still had some savings. I still had kind of some freelance work I was doing at the time. When I left Portland, I also left my job. So I started picking up a few contracts and started doing some high ticket sales closing that was completely remote. And this goes back to like me being able to practice what I preach, right? Like the certain things that I teach in my course were things that I was doing along the way and just made sense to me that sometimes I realize doesn't make sense to other people. So one of the big things there was, hey, if you want to work for a company, be their customer. Like it's kind of a simple concept, but like if there's any company that you want to work for, you should try to be their client if it makes sense, right? But if it's a
100%.
tech company, for instance, there's a ton of freemium software out there with these tech companies. Like it would be weird if you had never tried using the product and you applied. I think that's crazy. I
Yeah,
think
hundred
it would
percent.
be absolutely insane to take the time to apply to a company, but have never used their product if they have a free product,
Yeah,
right?
100%.
So, but this wasn't free. This was I was paying, and I was digging into my savings. I was like, whatever happens, I'm ready to travel the world. And even if I don't get this job, I'm going to go do it. But what happens is I go on the program. It's a 4-month program. It was the first 4-month program they'd ever offered. I go to four different countries in 4 months:
Wow.
Lisbon, Portugal, Split, Croatia, Prague, Czech Republic, Cape Town, South Africa.
Wow.
And by the end of that, I had done enough networking inside the company as a customer to be able to have my resume passed by two different people.
That's
I didn't,
awesome.
I never had to apply. It went straight to the hire manager. It was great. So I ended up working for this company called Remote Year, selling the programs. Now, what was very difficult about selling the programs is that about half the people that called into us or set up calls with us about our programs were asking, hey, do you guys give people remote jobs? So there's like this really weird part of our marketing that just the messaging still, no matter how much we tweaked it to say, hey, like there's like a checkbox, like, hey, you confirm that you know that we don't give remote jobs. People would still come on these calls and be like, yeah, so like I have everything that I need except for a remote job. We're like, yeah, that's kind of the main thing you need.
Now, I just want to take a minute and let everyone know, if you're a course creator, you've already got a course and it's not quite selling, or if you're still in the process of putting your course together, at the Course Creator Community, we actually have a VIP group coaching program. It's the best program of its kind and the most affordable as well. So if you'd like some extra help and guidance in either putting your course together or selling your online course, I recommend joining the Course Creator Community VIP program. I'll put the links down in the show notes.
So after having hundreds, if not thousands of these calls, I mean, we were judged based on our call output. And some of the times, you know, we were doing 50 to 80 calls a day.
Wow.
And like outbound, you know, you're just ringing people that have signed up for our forms and stuff like that. But whenever we connect with people, it's like about 50% of the time, they're like, you guys give people remote jobs. And after I kept hearing that over and over and over again, it's like, I want to start creating some resources for this. So it began as I'm just creating resources to help people in a job that I already have. But this whole thing was just validating, right? Like it was continued validation of the need for people to understand how to find a remote job. So that would be one of the big lessons, right? Is like figure out how it is that you can validate the actual need by talking to actual people. And I took notes on every single call I ever logged. So I had exact, and they were recorded. So I had exact terminology of what people were saying. And so what I started doing was when they said, oh, like, do you have a remote job? I wouldn't just stop the conversation. I'd ask them some follow-up questions. Like, oh, like, what's your biggest challenge with finding a remote job? What's this? What's this? And ultimately it actually worked in favor of remote year too, because if someone wasn't in a position to do remote year, it was likely because they didn't have a remote job. So me helping them find one with the resources that I would send them was actually helping remote year.
Because they can come back so a month later. Now I've got a job. Now I can do remote year.
Well, rarely would it ever be a month later, just by the way.
Oh, wow. Before, okay. Longer or shorter?
Longer. Oh, okay. Finding a job for a lot of people becomes a 3 to 8 month process.
Okay.
More likely. So just to make sure that people aren't expecting too much. Well, it's different for everybody, but.
Well, let's spend a minute there because I think that's a very good point.
Sure.
It's kind of like there's two way or there's a few different ways to look at it, but it's like if you're an online course creator and you've got, say you've got a passion, right? I've got this passion. I want to create a course on this thing. Great. You can create an awesome course. It can be awesome. People can benefit from it. But if there's no demand for that course, doesn't really matter how good the course is, it's going to be really, really, it's going to be really, really hard to sell it, right? But you've almost gone the opposite way there, Jordan. You've been like, man, there's just all these people that are already asking me these questions. Let me just, in a nutshell, let me create this course that's going to, that there's already demand for. And then it's just so much easier to sell. And there's many different ways you can do it. But as a course creator, that's kind of an easy start point there. Like instead of being like, all right, what am I good at? Let me create a course and try and put it out there. Great. What is there already demand for? What are people already asking?
Exactly.
And then let me just fit that demand. And if you can do that, it just becomes so much easier to sell the course.
Becomes easier, but it doesn't become easy. And I think that's a big distinction because even though I had all that validation, the first round of me building this course fell completely flat and was awful. I'll continue to go through the story. So as I was continuing through remote year, I was getting all that validation. I was writing down all these resources that I was collecting. I was feeling really good about this stuff. And eventually I got to a place where I was like, man, like I want to do this as kind of a side business, like help people find remote jobs and like more legitimately start to coach people and things like that. And I was like, I should make a course. So I go down the rabbit hole of making this course, and I was using ClickFunnels at the time. And I don't know if you've ever used ClickFunnels for course building, but it is one of the most clunky and shitty just built like course builders. It's not meant to be a course builder. It's meant to be a funnel solution. And even at that, even as a funnel solution, I don't think it's that great. I think there's a lot of other tools that are better just in the UI and stuff like that. So So I built it on there and I had all this like bravado of like, oh, like this is gonna totally sell and blah, blah, blah. And yeah, when I launched it, just no one gave a crap. It's like, damn, like what did I do wrong? And like what, you know, why isn't this selling? And I was pretty sure, like I was just pretty sure that it was gonna do well. And eventually I finally got the first couple people to purchase the course, but at that time I was still doing phone calls to sell it. So it was like more so setting up strategy sessions with people. And then what I found over time was that the course ended up becoming more of a supplement for my coaching programs rather than a course that sold by itself. So I took the first couple people through my coaching program where we'd meet once a week for a couple of months, whatever it was, and they get the course with the coaching program. And that way, I wasn't going on to these coaching calls teaching. We were coaching because they had already watched the modules that I assigned them. But what I realized was after some time, I was like, it was out of order. Like, because I hadn't actually coached enough people yet to really understand the process and the transformation I was taking them through, the course was actually done out of order. This comes to another really important point. Is that especially in the first stages, but I think always when you're creating a course, you should create them as modular puzzle pieces rather than like so let me just give you the example. Like I was labeling them section 1.2, 1.3, and I was saying it in my videos. So I was like, welcome to module 1.4, blah, 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 blah. And so what happened was once I noticed it was out of order and I literally needed to put module 7 before module 4. But everything in module 7, I was like 7.1, 7.2. It knocked off everything after that. So
Made that
I had
mistake.
to completely re I completely remade the course after that. But I don't know if you have more to say on that, but I'll
Well,
stop for a moment.
let's spend a minute there. Because there's a couple of good points. Yes, I've made that mistake too. Because I think it's natural when you start in the course and that the first PowerPoint slide is module one, and that's kind of what I would say it as well. But it was even just on there on that slide. It was recording module one, and I'm like, oh man, so that's a good lesson there. And it's like I was speaking to someone about a year or two ago about this as well. She runs a Pinterest course, really, really awesome course. And she's like, and especially if you run like a social media type of course, because there's always things changing and coming out.
Algorithms change, yeah.
And she's like, man, now she goes, if I didn't have those, I could have just taken out and put in, but now I've just got to do all this thing again. So I think that's a important
It's
point.
crazy.
I'll talk about another point as well, just a random one on here. This is just a pet peeve of mine that I hate. I'm just curious to get your opinion, Jordan. The actual, like, you do some courses. And there's like kind of a 10 second, like a 5 second intro on it, where it's like, maybe some music and then the logo comes up, and then they get into it there. It just reminds me of that. That's a personal pet hate of mine. I'm just like, man, I don't need to see this intro every single video here, Cut it down, just get to the content. Well, out of curiosity, what's your take on that?
So I don't make it with an intro. I understand why people do, and there's kind of like this maybe goes to another point that I want to make is that the content and the substance that helps create the transformation is much more important than the actual production quality and adding in all the bells and whistles. So I actually thought at the beginning, I was like, I almost overthought how much stuff I needed. But there was this quote, I'm trying to think if I remember it exactly. It was like the best way to teach is the easiest way it's learned or something like that. So it's like the best way to teach is like give people what they need to learn it, and there should be nothing else. And that's a very curious thought because when it goes into course production, I definitely can see how that's a pet peeve because I've taken a few courses where they have that introduction in every video. And it's that extra 20, 30 seconds. It's like, dude, just get me to the, I already seen this. Like it doesn't add any value. So in every single module or every single thing that you create in a course, I think at this point, as I'm moving forward, especially with my course creation and updates and things I do, I'm always just like, is this absolutely needed? And if not, then why am I feeling like I need to put this in here?
I'll piggyback off that as well. So what I found over the years as well, or if we go back even maybe 10 years ago, information was more valuable. than what it is now, because a lot of the information out there you can find on Google for free anyway. What's more valuable now is time, right? Everyone's short on time. It's kind of like, I could probably find a majority of this stuff in this course online if I watched every podcast Jordan was on and every YouTube video and every blog, but no one's got time for that. So it's kind of like the shorter, the better now. If you're comparing two courses, and one course 100%. Is 10 hours and one course is 5 hours, a lot of people would prefer that 5 hour course, even though it's less info. If it can still get them that end goal in half the time, it's more valuable there. So I think that's a good point.
100%.
I want to circle back as well to a couple other things you mentioned there, Jordan. So I like the coaching first as well. There's many different ways or many different versions people are on their online course journey. But in my experience, I found that's the best one. If you start doing one-on-one coaching first, because you just get to see all the problems. And I think a lot of people, when they start the course, it's very much from themselves. It's like, hey, I've had this trance, almost like yourself. Jordan's had this trance. Jordan's kind of learned, you know, how he got the online, and he's like, great, this is going to work for everyone. And it may work for a lot of people, but it may not work for everyone. There may be things that, you know, Jordan did that other people didn't. So, and the only way to really find that out is to do hours and hours and hours of coaching. And the more kind of coaching you get, you know, the better you're like, all right, cool. Now I know every trick in the book. If someone has this problem, this is the solution. This problem, this is the solution. So I think that's a good message for everyone listening as well. And it is, and I think this goes back to what you said earlier as well, where creating the course isn't necessarily a quick way to freedom. Because it's kind of like, if you want to do it properly, you may need to spend a year or 2 years of like one-on-one coaching, just time to get to that skill set, to get that course really well. So I think that's important for the listeners as well. If you're struggling on that side of things, you may have to go back a step first and do one-on-one coaching. And I get it. It's not the dream. It's not why you did the online courses, but it's almost like a step to get there. And then also 100%. Also similar to the sales calls, because it's a very similar journey to what I did myself as well. I was like, all right, let me sell this course via the phone. Get on the phone and sell. But that was also kind of like training, because it was like, all right, now I see every objection that someone has. Cool. Let me put this on the video. Let me put this on the landing page. All right. I see what everyone wants. What's the word in there saying? All right. Let me put this in the email. Let me put this on the page there. So it's another thing as well where, you know, if you listen, this is a course creator, you might be like, man, you know, I'm not making any sales. Like, it may be an idea to get on the phone. And once again, it may not be the end goal. It's not why you're doing it, but it's also a good learning experience there.
Yeah. And taking the copious notes from what people are saying exactly, it just goes right into your marketing, right? Yep. And there's nothing that replaces the real world experience of facilitating the transformation for somebody, like being there to guide them to that, seeing what steps that they took. And what becomes interesting is, you know, you can even parlay that into a group program, which is what I eventually did. And then now you've got multiple reference points in one group that becomes even more strong to see how the dynamics play out, and then what you can add into the course, what you can take out, or what becomes important, what becomes less important. So there's so many, so many ways to get those feedback loops. But if you don't have those feedback loops, it's often going to be just a waste of time, to be honest.
Well, continue with your story there, Jordan. So you kind of launched it, didn't make a lot of sales at the start. Then you kind of did a bit of coaching. You're getting on calls, and the course was kind of a supplement there. When did it kind of change to you're like, all right, now I can sell this course without the coaching, and I can sell the course without getting on the phone?
Well, I mean, it primarily, like, over time, I had those first few clients that really showed me, okay, well, first and foremost, like, the course is out of order. So then I had to redo the course, and I actually chose at that time that I was redoing it to change platforms. Gotcha. So I went from course, from ClickFunnels to Thinkific.
Gotcha.
And then I had, you know, using a traditional LMS, I was like, okay, this is going to be a better idea, because I'm going to be able to use a platform that's more suited for what I'm looking for. And it's going to be a better learning experience, all that sort of stuff. And I also, at that time, I remember in the remote year ecosystem, I gave out my course for free to 50 people or something like that, who were looking for jobs, to give testimonials and also feedback. So like, that was like a huge piece of the beginning. And a lot of the feedback was about the platform, right? And how clunky it was and how things were a little bit out of order. And
On
so I had, you have to
Thinkific still?
also, no, this was before I
Okay,
changed to
finals.
Thinkific.
Gotcha. Yep.
So yeah, so it was kind of like interesting to you got to lose your ego too,
Yeah.
in a way, because you can't be too attached to what you've created, because it's just an un it's always an unfinished product, and things are always going to change. So I went from that to got those testimonials, got the feedback, and eventually changed to Thinkific. And there were parts I liked about Thinkific as far as the way that it functions as an LMS and as it functions as a learner. I think it has a lot of benefits, but the landing page was terrible, right?
Yeah.
Like the landing page builder in Thinkific is
Yeah.
really bad, and the marketing
Yeah.
and just like I didn't find that to be, and there was, couldn't do the upselling, and
Yeah.
I was missing a
Moving
lot of
parts
things
and
from a traditional funnel.
yeah.
And so, but I was still like, at the time, I was still really leaning into my coaching programs being the main draw. And then I sold, the course here and there as a downsell. So if somebody wasn't good fit for the high ticket program, which at the time was like 2,500, 3,000 bucks, I would downsell them the course at like 1,000 bucks or something like that.
Gotcha. Yep.
And 500 or 1,000 bucks, I don't remember what it was. But the price continually changed and shifted, and I was like trying different, pricing strategies, and yeah, eventually like sold some there. And then there's more to the story, but I don't know if you had something you wanted to add or ask, because I saw you jotting some notes.
Yeah, I was just going to add a couple of important things there. There are actually three different things. The testimonials and feedback. I think that's key for the listeners as well. Even if it is just for the, even if it is a free course. So if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, you know, I want to launch my course soon, but I got no testimonials. Hey, start with, give the free course out. You know, even if it's your lead magnet and just have options there. The way I personally do it is at the end of every course, there's like a feedback form, a like a Google sheet. And there's many different ways you can do it. I'll even start with the main course. With all my main courses, it's essentially like, hey, on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you rate this course? And then the next question is, if it's any less than 10, what could I have done to make it a 10? Now, I don't really care what number they give me, whether it's one or whether it's 10. What I care about is that feedback. And whatever that person says, I'm going to add it in, because it doesn't really matter how good I think the course is. What matters is how good the students think it is, right? And for a start, not everyone is even going to fill out that feedback form, right? So if one person gives me that feedback there, chances are there might have been five or six other people that were thinking it, or yeah, didn't fill out the form, or didn't put it out. So that just speaks to your point of the constant improvement there. And then other questions you can have on that feedback form as well, or other ones I include, is essentially like, what other topics would you like covered? And then that can give ideas and that sort of thing as well. I think feedback's key. And yeah, and testimonials as well. You know, what I like to do is I get the feedback first, and then if it is good feedback, I go back and reach out to the person. Hey, that was awesome feedback. So glad you enjoyed it. Hey, you don't mind leaving me a review on Facebook, do you? He's a script you can use and that sort of thing there. So I think that's some really good info you gave for everyone else. Even if they haven't launched the course yet, you can get feedback and testimonials from free versions there. And yeah, it's interesting when you talk about ClickFunnels and Thinkific, because I'm interested to hear what you use now. I think I know actually, but I'm interested for the users to hear that, because that's common feedback with everyone, where it's like ClickFunnels is great for marketing, but it sucks for hosting a course. They have just released a new software, ClickFunnels 2.0, that may be better. I haven't had a good play with it yet. And then yeah, similar with Thinkific, like really good for the course hosting. Similar with a Teachable. Both of them are amazing for the student, but their marketing is just so bad. Yeah.
And I want to make one more comment about the feedback and the testimonials and all that stuff. My recommendation is to be as unscalable as you can at the beginning
Yeah, love that.
with customer
Yeah.
interaction. So up front, if you're going to give out something for free, you are up front getting the commitment of critical feedback as well as a good testimonial if they think it's good. It's like that's like an understanding that occurs, and a timeline in which their access will be available. I've realized that's really important too, because if you give someone forever and you just give them lifetime access, and you're giving it for free, and you're not really guaranteed, you're not confirming that you're going to get a testimonial or get the feedback, it's not going to work out. So I always think of, okay, if I'm going to give this to you for free, then I'm going to give you X weeks. We're going to have a call on this day. I get it on the calendar,
That's awesome.
like in that moment. I'm like, does this time work for you to do a recap? We're going to basically do, potential testimonial if you thought it was good, or critical feedback of things, and just get that up front, because it's likely in the beginning you're going to know these people anyway. So it's not like the best people to go find to take the course at the beginning are people that because typically they're gonna be more like, find someone that also has the need, right? At the time, I knew a lot of people who had this need, and it was like tons of people were hitting me up like, hey, how did you find a remote job? Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, like I've got some ways. So I think that's the unscalable part is really important in the beginning.
100%. And I'd even put that with, that's kind of my whole business model. Like when starting off, make it as unscalable as possible. And then once you've got these systems fine-tuned, okay, cool. Now, how can I get that out and make it more scalable? How can I get that out and make it more scalable? And I think that's a good message for course creators as well, because I'll speak to a lot of course creators that have never sold a course, right? And they're kind of like, yep, I know how I'm going to do it. I'm going to run a Facebook ad to my automated webinar, and then someone's going to click this button on my automated webinar, and then that's going to put them through this email chain, and then they're going to, buy this email chain, and they get your automated access out there. And like, that's great if you can get it together, but that's super hard to do from the start. What's like way easier is, all right, cool, let me do coaching. Let me sell via a phone call. Okay, cool. Now maybe I don't need to do the coaching. Now I can be the course there. Okay, cool. Let me remove the phone call. Okay, now let me do the webinar live. Okay, now let me do it automated. Like I'm all about as unscalable as at the start, and but also with a plan. Don't just lock yourself in so you're going to have to always do those things there. Like have your plan, but be unscalable at the start, and then slowly take one thing out once you've got that mastered. That's my take on it.
100%. And you're gonna, that plan's gonna change. Like you're gonna think that you've got the master plan, but you don't. The market's gonna give you feedback, people are gonna give you feedback, and you're gonna have to adjust and adapt. And that's kind of where I went with it. It was like I was realizing that the course was best as a supplement to coaching at the time. And I was like, okay, well, eventually I want to move out of only coaching. And I realized that there was a lot of people I would talk to that wanted a lower tier option, right? Because over time, coaching was becoming more expensive with me. Now it's like 2 months is $5,000. But at the time it was like, going up from 2,500 to 3,000 to 3,500. Sorry, I was starting to value my time more, and I was also getting a lot more really good testimonials, and I was delivering. It was like really getting transformations for people. And yeah, eventually it was like, how can I create ease in the and make a more frictionless buying process too for people? And how can I create the messaging that they're not going to need to be on a call with me, or they're not going to need any of this other stuff? And all of my sales with my courses have been organic. I haven't run any paid ads to it in particular. I do some sequences, like I do opt-ins where they'll opt into the free version of the course. And so eventually what happened was, and I don't know if you knew this, but I transferred over to Kartra. So I use
Yeah,
Kartra
I
now.
read that. Give that a plug,
And
because
what
that's
I
a good
love
that's a
about
good. Yeah, sorry, go. Continue.
What I love about Kartra is it's literally just kind of an all-in-one
Yeah.
business management platform. They have not only the course area, but they have, like what they call membership area, but they have emailing, they have any type of lead management. They have really good analytics. They've got a help desk feature. They've got landing pages. They got everything. Like it's all in one, and it's one price. And I basically, dude, I at the time, I went from, I think, seven different platforms to Kartra. I was like connecting my email. I was at ConvertKit, Thinkific.
Got the MCP are in
I had a
there.
webinar. I had a webinar. Yeah, I had a webinar software. I had this or that. And it's just like, man, how can I make this fucking simple? So the big takeaway from here is lean in the beginning. Like as lean as possible and as simple as possible, not having to connect all these different softwares. Use one thing that does it well. One guy who talks about this, who I really love, and does this better than I think anybody else right now is Justin Welsh, is his name. And so if you go to Justin Welsh on LinkedIn or on his website, you'll see his courses, just like we talked about earlier, they're 2 hours each. And like if I were to remake my course now, I would only make it a couple hours. It's like it's way too long. Like eventually I'm gonna I've since I've been writing the book, I've kind of I've added the necessary updates, but I'm basically gonna have probably a big overhaul next year of my course and make it at least probably half as short with just the most important stuff, and then have a bunch of bonus content. But yeah, dude, he creates 2 hour courses and just like has only two of them, and he's done over, I think he's done over 1.5 or 2 million in the past year off that, of just those two courses. And so it's like it's really cool to see someone who's really simplified it. And if I were to redo it, those are the things I would do, is like I would find the most simple way to give the transformation in the shortest amount of time with the cheapest and leanest software. And that first version of it would be so basic, and I would give it to a few people and just get that feedback, or sell it like really cheap and just get that feedback. And then if I was a first time course creator, and then I would just go from there.
I love that point of the all-in-one to start with. Like, I've made that mistake as well, and most people do, to be honest. And there's a couple things there. Here's the thing, right? It may not even be the cheapest at the start, because I think you probably could do it for free if you were like, well, look, I'll use the free version of Thinkific and then the free version of Mailchimp and then, the free version of this, the 10 buck thing here. And maybe you could get it for free or for 10, 20 bucks if you use three different ones. But there's a couple compared to, I don't know what, $50, $100 a month for Kartra or whatever. I'm also a fan of New Zenler, which I think is $60 a month for an all-in-one there. So if you just look at it like that, you can be like, well, hold on, I could get it for $20 here if I use all these different ones, or $60 here. There's a couple things with that. It's way harder if you use all those individual ones, especially if you're not good with tech. Different story if you've been at it a while and you know what you're doing. But like, to use all those different ones, it's really, really hard. But also, those free ones will only get you so far. And even that, they'll also kind of be tailored as well. Like, I think Thinkific's a good
At
example.
some point, at some point, the integration, like at some point, you're gonna have to integrate, or you're gonna have too many fields, or you're gonna go past the limits, and then you're gonna end up upgrading all of them anyway.
Well, I think Thinkific's a good example, because it's kind of like, last time I checked, they've got a free version, but it's kind of like you've got one course and there's no order bumps or subscriptions or payment plans or upsells or whatever. So it's like, great, you start with that free one, but now all of a sudden, you've got another course. So you've got one free course and one paid course. So now you're going to upgrade from the free to the 50, but now you want payment plans and subscriptions. Now you're going to upgrade that to, 150. And then now all of a sudden, you've got a couple hundred contacts. So, you're not free on the email anymore. Now it's a couple $100 over there. And now you need to use Zapier to integrate them. And now you got all these zaps coming through. So it's a couple hundred there. And like, it can
And
very
then that
easily.
gets complicated.
It gets
Zaps
complicated.
start
And
not working. You
there's more
forget.
things and
You
more
literally
time.
just forget which ones you have.
Oh, 100%. And that can go from free to 1,000 or a couple thousand very quickly. Whereas the all-in-ones, you pay that one fee and then you're set there. So I think that's a good point there.
And just being in the Kartra ecosystem, what's nice about it is it recognize, I mean, difficult part about the analytics, for instance, of using different platforms is you're having to cross-reference analytics from one platform to another and just see how is it that the lead flow is happening between the two, and like how is it recognizing that this person did this here. And Kartra has it all in one, so it's like it's so much easier for me.
100%.
Whereas, yeah, before it was a nightmare. Absolute nightmare.
I agree. But okay, continue on with the story. So you had people kind of say you want the lower priced options.
I just have more people that were they were needing the transformation. They didn't have the money for the coaching. I didn't necessarily have the lower tier option that could give them that, but I had this digital course as an asset, and I was like, okay, I've tried to split this out before. It didn't really work. How is it that it's going to work this time? But eventually, where I got with my kind of like my mindset around it was my testimonials are so good at this point that all of my prices should be on my site, for instance. Because like before, I would take people to a phone call, even for my high ticket, and I wouldn't have the price on there. And it wasn't always just because of some manipulative sales tactic. It was literally because I would change the price
Gotcha.
every 6 months, or so. So what I didn't want is someone to like see the price and then they wait, they get on my email list, and then 6 months later, I've changed the price to $1,000 more. And
Exactly.
then they're like stuck in their head with what the
They
price
valued it.
was. And
Yeah, they valued it at 2,000 because they saw it at 2,000. They're expecting that. Now it's 3. Oh, I'm not gonna pay 3,000 for that.
But I got over all that shit. I was like, I don't care anymore. I was like, I don't care. Whatever the price is on my site, that's the price. And if it changes, it changes. And that's fine. So what I've done now is I've segmented everything so that I don't take calls anymore. And I've really kind of valued my time. And I think there's also a mindset that goes along with this where there's some not only some faith involved, but also after so much work that I've put in to like get the really good testimonials, to like drive the social proof, to create content all the time, to point to my offerings, that's allowed things to be a little bit more automated. Whereas like, this morning you get the emails where someone's bought the course and I haven't done anything. They've entered a free opt-in for like I basically offer the job board and offer like a private job board and offer the first four modules of the course. And that's something cool in Kartra is that you can create different plans that restrict access to certain modules. So I have people that go on the free plan, they get the first four and they can see the titles of all the other modules, but they can't access them. So then they'll get an automatic coupon that comes to them for a limited time. It works for 7 days. And then they're able to buy at that lower, even lower price as a sense of urgency. Or, they can also buy the deep dive, which is like a couple hours of coaching with the course, or they could buy the high ticket. So yeah, having that just all on my site and more so focusing on how do I create content that gets the eyeballs to the site, and how do I create the freebies that I have that push them through a sequence. Like that's kind of where I'm at now, is doing it that way. And yeah, there's much less resistance, and then there's no phone calls. Like I'm not having to be on phone calls, which is what my main goal was.
So the strategy at the moment is essentially you'll publish content on social media that gets, people interested. There'll be some sort of free opt-in lead magnet there. Someone will enter their details. They then go through like an automated email chain to purchase your course in a nutshell.
Correct. But there's also kind of a longer game where they're sent my free resources page. My free resources page takes them to through a step-by-step process where it's like, hey, first thing is get access to my newsletter where every week I send you remote jobs. The second step is go to the Facebook group and join the group. Now you're in the group. And then the third step
Gotcha.
is like watch the webinar. The webinar will have all of my methodology on it. It will talk about exactly how I teach remote jobs. The X amount of step, the step after that is join the free version of the course. So you can check out the first four modules. It's very intentional of like, if you go to my site and you go to the free area, it just walks you through step by step. Like, here's what I'd recommend for people. But you could always just go to the bottom and or go to the paid stuff right at the top as well.
Gotcha. Love it. Okay, couple quick fire questions, Jordan. Social media platforms. There's so many of them out there. What are your favorite? Do you focus on one? Do you focus on two? You focus on all of them? What do you do social media wise?
Yeah, LinkedIn is probably my favorite because I was able to grow there the largest, and it's often where people are looking for jobs. So I've been able to come up with some processes to create content on LinkedIn pretty consistently, where I post 5 times a week and I spend maybe 15, 20 minutes on creating content a week on it. So that's been pretty cool to get that process down. But I am everywhere. Like if you look on YouTube, I have a YouTube channel. That's a big focus for me right now. I just passed like 3,000 subscribers.
Ooh, well done.
Yeah. Ooh, wow, crazy. But yeah, getting seeing like actually being monetized on YouTube and actually getting a paycheck from YouTube every month has been like a game changer, where my
Yeah.
mindset is like, oh wow, if I just get a couple more bomb videos, like that replaces a lot of even need for course sales or even need for this, but it also becomes a gateway to the course sales, and it also becomes a gateway to the book sales, and it's, quote unquote, free advertising. Obviously, it takes money to create on YouTube, but they're just kind of evergreen things that continually push traffic to the website and to all the other stuff. So I'd say that those two are the main focus, LinkedIn and YouTube. But I'm also on this early journey of like reconsidering how short form is going to be really great, and TikTok and that sort of stuff. So I've had a couple videos on there, and then I kind of stopped, but I'm here with I actually live with a buddy of mine who does a bunch of short form, and we're trying to keep each other accountable to making that happen. But I want to create the processes that make it easy, because I think there's a lot of resistance sometimes with that stuff.
Gotcha. Okay. In terms of sales, you've kind of covered a little bit of what you do there. In terms of software, you've also covered a little bit of what you do there. So my next question, Jordan, is around mentors. So you're obviously a mentor for plenty of people out there that want to have remote jobs. I'm curious to hear who your biggest mentors have been like in the online business or online course space. And if you could answer this in a few different ways, if you could give us like a paid mentor, so someone that you've paid money to, you've done their course or their coaching program, an unpaid mentor, someone you haven't paid, but you follow them on social, listen to their podcast, whatever it may be, and then a book that you recommend everyone should read if they want to be successful in the online course space. So paid,
Interesting.
unpaid, book.
So paid would be Justin Welch, who I already mentioned. Just like I actually did a I paid to have just do a 1 hour call with him once, which was $1,000, and now it's up to two. So he charges quite a bit for the hour long, but I also have taken both of his courses. Courses are phenomenal. They're both about creating content in general. Not necessarily about creating courses, but he brings in a lot of the elements of like, like you can see how he's created a course by taking his course and just be like, oh, this is fucking genius. I love that. I'm gonna skip ahead to the books, because I think that's more obvious to me initially, is all of Russell Brunson's books. Like, even though I've talked a lot of shit about the ClickFunnels, his books are so practical and simple that it's just there's just things that I think every basic course creator should know about how to get traffic, and about how to sell, and about how to find demand. So that's Traffic Secrets, Expert Secrets. I think there's one more, online
So
something or other. There's
I've
it's
just
like it's
heard one.
three different books.
Oh, yeah, I can't remember his first one. Yeah. Anyways.
And let me add one more of a guy who I
Dot com
had
secrets it was. Dot
dot
com
com secrets.
secrets. Yeah.
Another guy who I actually do recommend that I have paid to take his course, and it's the best course that I've ever taken, was Tiago Forte of Building a Second Brain was the course and cohort that I took. So basically, it's all about capturing and utilizing digital information. And just the way that he ran his cohort, I mean, he ran a cohort-based course, but it was just like, oh my God, it was so good. Like, so good. Trying to think of who else I really look up to in this space that I haven't paid, is kind of more of a distant. I mean, Russell Brunson is one of those, but more so for the books on like the traffic and things like that.
Well, while you're thinking there, I'll give my two cents on Russell Brunson because I'm a huge fan of his as well. And I think there's a couple of things. So I also started on ClickFunnels, had my first course on there as well. And this was, 2014, I think, something like that. And they were so far in front of the game back then. Like now, other mobs have come along, and I can kind of see they've just ripped off the ClickFunnels kind of system, the drag and drop, the funnels, that kind of stuff. So I think like ClickFunnels were really good back in the day, and just, like anything in life, competitors come up and they do it a bit cheaper and they, leverage off of what you've already done. But in terms of like what Russell Brunson's done so well is he's created a whole movement around it, right? Like if most people listening to this will know, okay, yeah, ClickFunnels, yeah. That's Russell Brunson. I don't know who's the owner of Teachable or Thinkific or Kartra or anything like that.
Right.
On top of that, I just got back from his live event a couple of weeks ago, right? Funnel Hackers Live. I traveled from Sydney to Orlando, Florida to go to that event.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So you went.
There were 5,000 people there, right? He's created a movement around the software that's made it just so much more than a software. And he's got affiliates and raving fans and coaching programs. And he's kind of in the position now, like ClickFunnels is just one of his things, he's got so many different things going on, but the whole movement is what he's done. Amazing. So I think he's probably the best marketer in the world, yeah, to be honest.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm glad I mentioned him then.
Yeah, 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 for sure. So, okay, so you've mentioned
obviously. I figured out the last one.
Yep.
Sonny
Lenarduzzi. Yeah. Yes.
So she's great.
Yeah, I'll tell you a quick story with her. So I've done her course.
Oh, you've got stories with everybody.
Well, so I met her originally at a convention in the US as well, a couple years ago. Traffic and Conversion Summit. All right. And she gave a presentation on YouTube and she's like, all right, here's the blurb that I recommend you start at the beginning of every video. And I'm a big note taker. So I wrote it down word for word. And then at the end of her presentation, she's like, all right, let me do a test. Who can come up here and, regurgitate the intro that I gave with their business? And if you do, I'll give you $100. And I just put my hand straight up. She called me. I brought my notebook up and I just, nice. Read it and replaced, the business things or whatever. And then she gave me $100. So I got a photo of me and Sonny Lenarduzzi of her handing me a $100 note. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And $100 bill. Okay.
Yeah.
That's hilarious, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Cool. If you're listening to this, you can check it out on my Instagram. I've still got it up there. And I was also gonna
want to do that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll even share it now while you're on the screen here. So, I was also going to say with Russell Brunson's book, Expert Secrets, that's essentially like how to launch an online course. You may not be able to see it from the name, but like the system he goes through, like if you just follow that system there, that's how you launch and sell your online course, from doing the research and doing the first one free and getting the feedback. And so I recommend everyone read that. Jordan, you mentioned if someone's looking for a remote job, the best thing to do is go to theremotejobcoach.com and I'll put the link down below. Jordan's book is also coming out next month. You can get it on the website as well. If someone wants to follow you personally, Jordan, and just kind of follow your journey, you mentioned LinkedIn. Is that the best for someone that even if they're not looking for a remote job, they just want to see what you're doing, LinkedIn's still the best option there?
Yeah. LinkedIn's probably the best option, or Instagram as well. And both of those are on my website on the bottom, so you can find them in the footer.
Awesome. Awesome. Jordan, that's pretty much everything I wanted to cover for today. Is there anything I should have asked you but didn't, or anything you want to finish us off with?
I think finishing off is just going back to summarizing, keep it simple, keep it lean, keep it short. At the beginning, especially, you're gonna love yourself for doing those things, because the validation, once it comes, if it does come, is just so much easier when you've kept everything as minimal as possible. Yes. Oh, there's your 100. Oh, there you go.
So if I was a bit distracted, I was looking for the photo. I'm like, it's not on my Instagram, but here it is there. I'm just showing for the listeners, I'm showing Jordan live on my screen here.
That's great, man. Love it.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, Jordan. Well, hey, thank you very much for your time.
All right, Jono. Take care, man. See ya.
Hey, course creators, real quick before we get into today's episode, I've got a little favor to ask. As a lot of you are probably aware, one of my goals for this year is to get this, is to massively grow this podcast and get it to be one of the top ranking podcasts in the marketing space. To do that, what really helps is if I can generate as many ratings as reviews as possible from listeners. So if you're a returning listener, if you could take a couple seconds and just give me a quick rating and review on Apple or Spotify or whatever platform you listen to, that would mean the world to me. Anyway, let's get to today's show.